Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a show for veterans by veterans.
And thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we have got an outstanding show coming up for you today, but we want to start by thanking some of the sponsors that help make the show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline's Counseling Services, the Veterans 211 Hotline.
And, of course, I want to thank all of our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. Remember, ESPN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. Hey, check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And if you like to listen on demand, you can always check out our regularly aired shows on most of the major podcasting sites. And Tom's Tirade, if you want to get your blood pressure going, it is up on castbox.net. And as always, you can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Hey, coming up later on SBN, we'll speak with Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. He will get us up to speed on the services they offer to our veterans and how they're coping with COVID. Also, the latest on the number on COVID within our military and veterans. We're seeing some new numbers roll out, not all good. And President Trump continues to keep his promises by ending our endless wars as the world's policeman by bringing home yet another round of troops from around the globe. And, of course, Tom's Tirade on the three R's. But first, it's always great to speak with a great supporter of our veterans and first responders, Mr. Nick DiMario from Ed's Seafood Shed. Hey, Nick, welcome back to SBN.
Yep, we're going to have to get him on the air first here, buddy. He hadn't called in yet, Cal.
I did not have the heads up on that, Tom.
I get zero on that.
Well, that's all right. You know, they do have to try to feed a lot of hungry folks over there at Ed's. And, you know, it was we were over there, last week, Tom. Obviously, you were broadcasting from over there when we were doing our Veterans Day remote from the battleship. And for the listeners that may not have picked up on it last week, I know you were there was along with Veterans Day there and all the things that were going on for our veterans. I know that they had a very special presentation to you there at Ed. So, fill in our listeners that might have missed out on that, Tom.
You know, they surprised the old man. Seriously, we had been talking with Nick and Panini Pete for a period of time. and they wanted to recognize our veterans in the Mobile area and the ones that they saw that were out working with the vets. And so they asked me to help them put it together, so I did. And they never did say when they were going to start it. So I was down on the lower ramp or patio area on Ed's doing some interviews there. And you know how it is, you know, if you've ever been in service, you get a feeling like somebody's getting too close to you. You know, something's happening behind you. You just get that premonition. And I'm going like, while I was still on the phone, but I couldn't finish because I was doing an interview with the gentleman from over there at Glenn Frazier's new American League post. And but I felt uneasy, you know. So as soon as I went off the air and you took back over, I turned around and here's about 30 people standing behind me. And I thought, oh, hell, wonder what I done now. You know, so here's Eric Reynolds and his wife. What a precious lady. And since she started talking about this guy that they knew that was doing all this stuff for these vets and all, and that they wanted to recognize him and all, I said, I'd like to recognize him too. If y'all let me know who he is, I want to shake his hand. They said it. And he said, let me read this. So then they read the proclamation and certificate, and they had made me the first annual recipient of this award. And it's they had the old man in tears, man. I didn't have any idea that was going on because I don't do for that. So it was extremely exciting, and I'm still blown away by it. It's neat to know that they would even do that.
Well, it certainly is a very well-deserved bit of recognition, Tom. And, the fact that they were able to kind of sneak it in there and do it on Veterans Day with the crowd that was there, I think it all worked out very well. But, you know, one thing you said, Tom, that I think is interesting. And, you know, of course, on Veterans Day, we also talked with, Lou Lartigue and Pete Ring.
Right. Yeah.
And a number of guests from throughout the veterans community. And, you know, I think most of them would probably say the exact same thing you just said. You know, and of course, Pete Ring had been recognized as the Veteran of the Year for this year. And Lou has previously received that honor. But I think both of them would say that they're not doing it. You know, what they do, they don't do for the accolades and the awards and the recognition. They're out there, as Lou said, they're out there just trying to help out their fellow veterans in the community. And, it's great. I think it's wonderful that you were able to receive that recognition, from, the folks over there. I mean, Nick and Pete and everything that they do in the military and the veterans community, and of course, supporting first responders and all of that. But, to be able to receive that recognition and have the veterans that were there on site to see it, as well as having Eric Reynolds, who is a great friend of ours and has done a tremendous amount in trying to promote what the veterans community is doing. And, it's one of those things where it's great. I believe this is going to be an ongoing award recognizing our veterans out in the community there at Ed's. And, it's great that you were the first. Obviously, as I said, I think it's very well deserved. I think our listeners would say the same thing. And the ones that have been out there working with you in the community, because you and I both said, it's not one person. It's not two people.
No.
It's going to take everybody.
No, it takes everybody
out there in the veterans community to keep this thing moving forward. And, the little bit that you and I are able to do along the way, in so many instances, Tom, all we're doing is giving a helping hand to somebody out there so that they can then pass that on.
Right. Well, it relates back to my time doing radio, Cal. I'm in my 40th year. And we've been doing this show for 11, going on 12 years. And prior to that, I was doing the car show it for all those years, but I did that because I enjoyed doing it, and I thought I was helping the public. But you know, I didn't get a check for that. I didn't get paid for that. I really had to worry about, just like we have to do with this show, we have to worry about what our sponsors, you know, developing the revenue to stay on the air, because this is not freebie time.
Well, you know, it is, Tom. And of course, you know, mentioning that it's not freebie time, we do have to go into the break so our sponsors can get a word in. But, you know, we do want to say thank you to the sponsors and, of course, everybody that supports Scuttlebutt, because we feel like we're on a mission, 11 years and counting. So we appreciate that. Again, Tom, congratulations on the award. Hey, on the other side of the break, Mr. Bill Clark with Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Hit a lick against what's wrong. Say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. Now, I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. Hey, check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN, and it is always an honor to be joined on SBN by Mr. Bill Clark with Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. Bill, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service to our veterans and their families.
Well, thank you, Cal. It's always good seeing you all, and happy Thanksgiving. It is right here on us.
And it's right here, right here, right around the corner. We'll be cooking some Boston butts this weekend. you know, you're usually in here on a monthly basis, or sooner as we have some openings. But one of the things that you talked about when you were here in the last couple of times was the fact that you guys were getting involved with a new veteran section in one of your gardens at Serenity Gardens. How are those things going? How'd that work?
Went great. We had a wonderful celebration and dedication 2 weeks ago. We had the high school band playing the different theme songs of the different branches of service.
Awesome.
Had the, of course, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance. We sang the national anthem. We hosted the flag on the new flagpole while taps were being played. We were honored to have American Legion Post 250 come to join us in the celebration. We had various speakers that were very inspiring. And so it was just a wonderful time. We had hot dogs and drinks and everything, all American type type food for our guests. There was a nice turnout, and people were very appreciative of celebrating this country's greatest heroes.
That's neat, man. I tell you what, it's neat. I was with a honor guard group, and we were in Chatham for honor guard there for firing of the weapons and raising the flag for their veterans group and their Veterans Day Association. So, wasn't able to make yours, but I knew you guys would do an awesome job.
We had a great time.
Post Adventure does a real good job. I'm hearing figures like 250 to 300 funerals a year.
They attend quite a few.
They, you know, it's just unbelievable that those people get out there every morning to get ready to go, you know, go do an honor guard, fire the weapon somewhere. But I'd hate to have the bill for all that blank ammunition they fire.
Well, that and running the roads.
They run the roads. You know, but thank goodness a lot of the organizations like yourself and some of them help support that group. And they, in turn, help them with some just expenses as far as like gas money and what have you, and exactly. Ammunition and stuff. So that's neat that they do that. All that being said, now, we're promoting veterans and veterans events here. And are there any discounts involved with veterans that you serve at Serenity?
They are. Either whether it be in our Serenity Rest Garden or Serenity Memorial Garden Cemetery or Lone Haven Cemetery. As far as the in-ground burial concern in our other gardens, we do not charge for the grave space for the veteran.
Really?
They are required to pay a fee that is mandated by the state, a perpetual care fee, which is a very small percentage of the value of the
That's kind of like an opening and closing fee or something.
Well,
too,
it's much less than that. It, on average, maybe $180.
Holy cow! That's all.
Yeah, that's all, and that goes to the a state fund to make sure there's money's there always to take care of the grounds. So this is a state mandate thing, but as far as Serenity, we do not charge for veterans' grave spaces. And we do have a section called Wall of Honor that I'm sure you're familiar with.
Right, I am.
That is a double-depth cemetery section. And in that section, neither the veteran nor the spouse pays for that grave space.
Really?
Right.
Well, now, that I thought that the Arlington South, which is over at off Highway 225, Spanish Fort, I know they do that, but even then, they I think the wife has to pay a fee of $300 or something.
$375,
like that.
Yes.
Right. Uh-huh. But now you don't have that fee?
Well, now, we do have the fee to open and close the grave. That's always going to be the case.
Okay.
No matter whom it may be. But as far as the actual grave space itself, we do not charge for veterans.
Well, so that being said, then a veteran that maybe they haven't reserved a space at the cemetery over in Spanish Fort or somewhere like that, and they don't have their grave sites, then they don't have that problem. All they have to do is contact Serenity, and if they're a veteran, then y'all can furnish them a space.
That is true.
But now that does not mean that their funeral service itself is free.
No, it does not. And, you know, there's always been misconceptions that because someone was a veteran that the VA is going to pay for their funeral.
Right, it doesn't work.
That has never been the case.
No.
The only time the government pays for a funeral is when you're killed in action.
Okay.
And then it is a limited
KIA,
amount.
They call it.
KIA, that's correct. And then it is just a set amount. Anything else above what the government pays would be on the family. However, with us, their money's no good.
Right. Okay.
Whatever the government is going to pay for a KIA, that's it.
That's it. Okay.
We are not going to accept any other monies from the families in that situation.
Well, just about everyone that I've talked to that had the occasion to partake of your services out there on the family side of it has had nothing but good words to say about Serenity and the reception that they had. My brother passed here 2 weeks ago, and his services were there, and he used Serenity as well as his previous, or his wife had as well, but I know his son called me, and he said, "Mr. Tom," said, "Uncle Tom," said, I just couldn't believe how those people treated us out there. He said, "They were just so nice." So, and I appreciate you guys for that.
Well,
but, at the same time, I said, "Well, son, they do it for everybody."
Well, you know? It's our honor. It really was.
And it's neat. My brother wasn't a vet. He was turned down because he had a motorcycle wreck and broke some bones. But now, all that being said, what about the holidays coming up? Now, are you guys going to be closed any period of time for the Thanksgiving or New Year's or Christmas?
Well, our office would be closed Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's Day. However, we have staff that is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365. I mean, death never takes
like
a holiday.
No locks on your doors.
That is correct.
Okay.
It's we're always available.
No locks on the doors. I don't know where I would want a business like that. Well, you know, and here's another thing that's just tearing us all up, and that's the COVID cases that we have and the COVID scenario that's going on here. And with the rise of the COVID cases that we're seeing, and even now in our areas of the South and the nation, are you guys having any special precautions or any guidance in this area?
Oh, yes. We were under mandate at one time in the late spring where there was only we could only have 10 people to attend a funeral service.
Ooh,
and that
okay.
was terrible because we'd have families say, "Look, there's more than 10 people in our immediate family.
Sure.
You know, how can one son come to the funeral but the other one cannot?"
Yeah.
But that was a mandate by the governor, so we had no choice in the matter. However, as time's gone on and we've learned a little bit more about the virus and taken more precautions, we've increased that number from 10 to 20, and then for the last month and a half, we've been around 50. So
that's in a service in the building?
Service in the building, that's correct. Okay. Now, when the service is graveside, you can have more because of the distance and spacing that we can have, you know, on the outside.
Okay. Well, how can someone find out some more information about all you guys do out at for the families of veterans and any other person here in the our listening audience area?
They can always call us at 251-653-4781 and speak with any of our counselors or any of our funeral directors. You can always go to our website, www.serenityfuneralhome.com.
And that's awesome. I'll tell you, and as I say, you guys do an awesome job. And you have your own facility out there for for the people that are not interested in being buried.
Right, for cremation. We're one of the very few funeral homes in this area that have our own crematory. So your loved one never leaves our care until the urn is returned to the family or is interned in our beautiful cremation garden called Serenity Rest.
Awesome. And you know, that's an awesome thing. I noticed that that's built out of what, marble and just all, you know, I mean, it's really beautiful.
Yes, granite, uh-huh.
And you have the seats and all out there where you can go sit and talk. And, you know, if you don't feel like going out there and talking to your loved one, go ahead.
That's right.
It's all there. Man, it's a pleasure for having you on again tonight and bringing us up to date. And we pray that all of y'all have a blessed Thanksgiving your people.
Well, thank you very much. And same to you. And don't overeat this time.
Why?
Because it's not good for us. Of course, I say that every time, and then I go way overboard every time.
Yeah, gobble till you wobble.
Good seeing you all.
All right, y'all take care. We're going to provide the words from our fine sponsors and all here that work with us, and we'll be right back.
Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters, along with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Hey, check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN to keep the discussion going.
And we certainly wanted to thank the fine folks that continue to help us make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, and what a blast we had out there last week doing that remote on Veterans Day. And it was really just awesome. But we also want to thank our fine friends at Colin Kimberly and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline's Counseling Services, the Veterans 211 Hotline.
And, you know, Tom, you were mentioning the little, you know, it really was a great time there out on the battleship for Veterans Day. And as I mentioned, it was great to see the crowds that were out there with all of the virus and COVID and all of that, to see the number of folks that came out to visit the battleship. And of course, they had a great service there for Memorial Day, but it was really great to see the crowds. And as I always say, it's great to see those youngsters that the parents bring out.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, that they can see what Veterans Day is all about, and no better place to celebrate that than there at the Alabama. And of course, you know, we mentioned the virus, and of course, the pandemic continues to rage across the nation, with many of the blue states whose governors took a victory lap after the first round taking a shellacking. Now they're facing yet another dose of the Hong Kong flu. So it's no surprise that our military and veterans are still in the crosshairs of the enemy. And there's some numbers that were problem last week. They put them out for Veterans Day, Tom, and of course those numbers fluctuate on a daily basis. But yeah, the headline was you've got record highs in COVID cases in the military and amongst veterans. The Department of Veterans Affairs is saying that their active cases have exceeded their record highs that were set back in July. And at the same time, Tom, the military say that they keep a 7-day average of new cases across the Defense Department. And they said that their 7-day average as of the end of October was 703. Now, that's not quite the 806 that had been set back in July, but they say those numbers continue to move higher. Now, when you're shifting gears, going back to the VA, in addition to the new cases, the VA facilities are also seeing an increase in deaths, with nearly 700 of those in the month of October. Now, the overall cases in the VA are only around 4,000. And I say only, I mean, that's just a relative term compared to other healthcare facilities. And, you know, Tom, when you look at those numbers and you think, wow, 4,000 in the VA facilities. Now, they're not necessarily saying that those are all veterans. But if you look at the scope of the VA, Tom, you know, they're in all 50 states. They have facilities. I mean, just think, we've got the Biloxi VA. You've got various facilities throughout our area. And if you think, okay, there's only 4,000 deaths throughout the nation in that system, at least the way this is being reported, you know, Tom, that's maybe not a terrible number when you look at the overall, at the bigger picture.
Right. And that's the thing, too. We have to look, Cal, I think, at the number of cases on the one hand and then the number of deaths on the other. Even though our cases are going up, personally, I think that has to do with the fact that we are testing more people. So now we are finding the people that are having the cases, and in the past they had it and didn't know it and thought they had a cold or something, you know. But now that we have that, then we're not losing as many, because I think the weakest portion of our population, and they tried to get me, but thank God I was hard-headed enough to be able to work through it. But I think the weakest portion of our elderly and the people that had the diseases that were susceptible to the COVID to a death effect has slackened up some. Yes, I think we're seeing more cases, but I think that has to do with testing, as I say. But I don't think the percentages of deaths are as great now as they were. Am I on the right page or not?
No. I think what we're looking at, Tom, is really twofold. One is, you know, what were we told when the virus first hit? It was, we got to get this testing out there.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get these rapid testing. And then it was, well, we're going to do drive-through testing, and we're going to set up testing here and testing there. And I think that there are some merits to that, Tom. But when you start looking at, I'm going to throw this out there, but my guess is if you wanted to go out and just say, hey, you know, we need to test everybody for STDs.
Uh-oh.
Well, you'd probably have the number go way up,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you probably have a lot of folks out there that are walking around with it that don't know.
Right.
And so, yeah, if you suddenly are rolling that out and it's free and everybody's going to go get tested, well, sure, you're going to see your numbers go up. And I think the difference that we're seeing, and you know, that may have been a bad analogy, but I think it's
accurate. I know, yeah, but it's the truth.
You know, but you know, we don't do this in the flu season,
right?
And I think that's a huge difference. You know, when we have a bad flu season, you've got folks that are just going to say, "Okay, I'm sick. I'm going to stay home."
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't they don't have drive-through testing for the flu. You still have to get a doctor's appointment. You have to go through all the rigmarole.
Well, you know, look at the Mobile area here with just the COVID cases and all we have.
What I haven't seen, Tom, is the number of people who've tested but are negative.
Right. Right. Yeah, they don't give us that number. No. But you know, Even the period of time that I was in the hospital, we was on one floor. We had 28 patients or 28, 29 patients there on that floor in that one hospital. And I understood that the other hospitals had like 30 and one of them had 20-something. So we're looking at 60 and 90, 60 cases or so, or 70 cases in actually bedridden in the hospital. And we're talking about thousands of cases. So, you know, there's not really that many people are actually going to the hospitals unless it happens to be a bunch of older people that's getting it. And, the guys that are susceptible and they're going to lose their life, most of them's gone. Hate to say it, but that's the way it is.
I think there's a certain amount of truth to that, Tom. And one thing that we don't know when you're looking at these new death tolls that we're getting on a daily basis, we don't know how long those folks have been in the system. You know, did they test positive 3 months ago?
Right.
And you know, now the virus has kind of run its course. So, you know, those are some things that as much as it pains me to think that anybody has lost a loved one, and I've heard some horrific stories out there that they've lost a loved one to this virus. What I hate is the fact that we politicized it, we weaponized it.
Oh, Lord, yes.
And I think the worst is yet to come, because I think as we go back into these lockdowns, Tom, I think eventually people are going to say, enough is enough. I want to live my life.
Right, right. Yeah, we've already seen some of that.
Well, yeah, but I think folks are just going to get fed up with it, Tom. And, you know, to tell folks, hey, you can't go have Thanksgiving.
No way. And, you know, I'm not going to do that.
Absolutely. Anyway, those are the numbers. Hopefully it looks like the VA is keeping good handle on things. So you can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on the three R's and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand.
The following may not necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Well, fall is officially upon us, although you wouldn't know it by the continued heat. And along with the coming cooler temperatures and the incessant drumbeat of why Malzahn is still coaching at Auburn and why Saban is slumming with Aflac. I stumbled over that one pretty strong. Comes the return of young skulls full of mush to the government-controlled school system for their next round of indoctrination by the union thugs running the system. Back in my day, that meant a steady dose of three R's. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. I've always wondered about that last one, considering that arithmetic actually starts with an A, not an R. But who knows? These days, little Johnny, or Jenny, depending on which bathroom they want to use today, would probably get credit for trying, since we don't hold our students to anything remotely close to real standards. Apparently, we no longer hold our politicians or journalists to any real standards either, as is evident by the vitriol, political bias, and outright hatred that has been on display since President Trump was elected to office nearly 3 years ago. For anyone with a modicum of common sense, it is readily apparent that the majority of the media, mainstream, and social is no longer the fourth estate of government. They are now simply the voice of the Democratic Communist Party. And while it may be debatable as to which one sets the agenda for the other, it is apparent that they can no longer hold themselves out as objective in any way. Both have been working from the playbook of their own three R's in order to destroy the Trump presidency and decent people who have the temerity to associate with the duly elected president. But instead of the R's that we learned in school, or tried not in some cases, the Democratic Communist media cabal are following a different script: Russia, racist, and Rosemont. And while the outcome of the first two schemes to oust the president failed spectacularly, the third, Rosemont, may not be as familiar to the general public. But here's a clue. Think Hunter Biden and Ukraine. Wait. You mean you haven't heard the backstory leading up to the supposedly nefarious call from President Trump to his Ukrainian counterpart that has renewed Democrats' hopes for a Trump impeachment? Well, then let me fill you in. And before some of you ask why, Top Cat, are you jumping into this political maelstrom on SBN? Isn't that a bit political of you? Well, maybe. But the story of Hunter Biden starts well before the phone call. You see, Hunter and the Biden family in general is no stranger to using their wealth, their power, and their privileges to get a leg up on the smelly, deplorable Walmart voters who put Trump into office and continue to support him. But even the power of the vice president could not stop Hunter from blowing his chance to be the family's war hero after a brief stint in the U.S. Navy. According to reporting from USA Today back in 2014, the youngest son of Uncle Joe was discharged from the Navy only 1 month after his commissioning in the Naval Reserve. Dang. Okay, you might say that is not exactly. Except that Biden was discharged for testing positive for cocaine after a drug test in 2013. And the circumstances under which he made it into the Navy raised questions as well. Biden, an ensign, had been selected for commission as a reserve officer through the Direct Commission Officer Program in 2012. He was commissioned into the Navy Reserve Unit for Navy Public Affairs Support Element East in Norfolk, Virginia. Biden, who had no prior military experience, it seems he gets ahead where he has no experience, was one of six officers commissioned nationally for the billet. Applicants who cannot have passed their 42nd birthday at the time of commissioning are reviewed by a board that meets twice annually, and on average about 35 people apply. Hunter Biden sought and received a waiver to join the service because he was 44. He also received a second waiver because of a, quote, drug-related incident when he was a young man, end quote. As the Wall Street Journal reported and added that such waivers are not uncommon. So riddle me this. Blowboy Biden gets picked for one of six spots after 29 other candidates, and he has to pull the waiver card not once but twice. I mean, come on. I know the Obama administration lowered standards to enter the military, but according to this, I was a better candidate than he was. So outside of the fact that Joe Biden undoubtedly used his office to place his unqualified son in a spot in our military that could have been filled by a more suitable candidate, why am I bringing this to you, the listeners' attention? Because the very same unqualified Biden was, at the time, working as a lawyer, lobbyist, and managing partner at the investment firm Rosemont Seneca Partners in Washington. That's the third R, which elevated him to be hired in May 2014 to join the board of Burisma Holdings, Ukraine's largest private oil and gas producer, and be in charge of its legal department. Granted, Blow Biden has no experience in oil and gas unless it is his father's hot air, and had no background in Ukraine. Additionally, his elevation came on the heels of the Russian invasion of the Ukraine in 2014, an act of war which the Obama administration did nothing to counter. So why would the Democratic communists in the House, the never-Trumpers, and their willing accomplices and the media jump on the phony whistleblower story of President Trump asking the Ukraine president to investigate Uncle Joe's interference into an investigation into his son's Ukrainian windfall? Because as much as they would like to paint Trump as the obstructionist in chief, it is the Democratic communists and the media propaganda machine that are in fact interfering with this president's agenda to make America great again. And that includes not allowing those born with a silver spoon to smoke crack to enter our military. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. By the way, have I mentioned I'm pissed off lately?
Where's your drill sergeant, man?
Hold up, sir!
Hold up, sir! So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and streaming live at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple of Marines with just a little bit to say. The First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, just a little bit of information from the past there, Tom, in the tirade.
By the way, did you know I'm still pissed off?
Well, I think you remain in that state. I stay in that mode. Well, yeah, there's plenty out there to get you into that state.
Yes, there is.
We don't have to make anything up. But you know, speaking of not making it up, you know, one of the things that President Trump campaigned on in the prior election and really is one of the themes of his administration is that the United States really needs to take a look at how it deploys its troops around the world, that we need to get out of these, what he would say are endless wars. And I will say this, he had made these statements prior to ever being a political candidate, that he thought some of the decisions that had been made were made erroneously, and that keeping our troops in harm's way was not really in the best interest. Of course, we've seen some peace negotiations that have gone well with the state of Israel and others in the Middle East. And, you know, what most folks don't realize is, you know, there hasn't been a big war in the Middle East during his tenure, except with him getting rid of ISIS. But he's now officially called for a troop reduction in Afghanistan and Iraq as well. And I think this is an important thing, Tom, because when you look at the overall scope, if we can withdraw our troops and maintain energy independence, that kind of leaves the Middle East up to its own devices to figure out whether or not it wants peace or not. But we're not going to be stuck there trying to be the world's policeman.
I certainly hope not. We've done that enough.
And at the same time, we're also planning on reducing the number of U.S. forces in Somalia. Now, you may say, Somalia, wait, wasn't that Black Hawk Down? Well, it was, but we had expanded our military options there to fight Al-Qaeda, because Al-Qaeda was on the run. And so we had moved into areas such as Somalia. So it looks like he's going to bring the troops home, and you know, some of them may be home for Christmas, Tom. So, you know, I think it's a good thing. We'll have to see what this election brings and what the next administration brings, but at least some of those troops will be coming home. But that's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans. For the veterans, we thank you for joining us. Hope that you've enjoyed the show. Hope that you will join us again later. If you like the show, please tell a friend. If you didn't, tell it to the Marines. Until then, please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those in harm's way. God be with them and their families. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!